For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
I want to thank the league for creating the play-in tournament. Thank you, Adam.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
A sideline three for Steph Curry.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, longtime golf writer Alan Shipnuck. Coming up, 2026 NFL draft prospect Jonah Coleman. Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. Actor Bob Odenkirk. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We chatted amongst ourselves and also about the LIV Tour potentially ending in short order with Alan Shipnuck in hour one. Hour number two, Chris Webber is going to be joining us shortly. And then in hour three, Better Call Saul himself, the great Bob Odenkirk in studio in support of his new film, Normal. Which has an abnormal body count in it. I'm not going to lie. It's quite something. It's a quick, wild watch, to say the least. And he is going to be in studio to talk about that, support of that. And as you might imagine, we have got a ton of questions for him when he joins us here in studio hour number three. My top five teams that should trade up in the NFL draft still to come. Your phone calls as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We listen when our guests talk. This just in.
Good quality to have as a talk show. Yeah, of course.
We hear them. We listen and we hear. Todd McShay, when we were talking about the running back class, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, two Notre Dame running backs. And I'm like, who are we not talking about? Who should be discussed more? Who's shooting up in draft stock? One of the names that he mentioned is our next guest from the University of Washington football program. Jonah Coleman is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Jonah. How are you?
What's going on, man? I'm doing amazing.
You tell
excited
me.
To be on the show.
I appreciate that. So your name, he dropped it, and we're like, let's go meet him, and now here we are. What has your draft process been like so far, Jonah?
My draft process has been really control the controllables, just because I had an injury during the season, so I wasn't able to do combine. I was able to do pro day, but I wasn't able to test or anything. But I know that if I can control, what kind of person I'm presenting myself to be, and, just ultimately just being myself when I'm interviewing, and that's something that I've been doing, which is crushing these interviews, and I'm getting great feedback, from my agent, and also great feedback from these teams that, after our interviews. So just being able to control what I control is what the whole process has been about.
Well, I'm sure they're all asking you about your health. What do you tell teams?
Oh, I'm good to go. I'm ready to go. That's why I did pro day. Yeah. I didn't test because ultimately I didn't have enough time. But the main thing was, being available. And, the best ability is availability. So just being able to show them I'm available, I'm ready to go.
Okay. How many teams have you visited?
I visited two teams. I visited with the Denver Broncos, and I visited with the Minnesota Vikings, and also had a quick visit with the Seahawks.
Okay. Ooh. Well, yeah, those are pretty good teams that you went and you saw. What was your conversation like with Sean Payton, the HC of the Denver Broncos?
We had a quick conversation. He just pretty much asked me how I was doing. He said that he was excited to have me there. It was great meeting him. Just the whole Broncos organization was, ultimately in great spirits when I was there. And I felt all the love that they have to give, and just the camaraderie that they have as far as in the coaching staff, and the culture that they're building there is amazing. I would definitely say that's been the highlight of the draft. They showed nothing but love and the utmost respect when I visited there. And it was just an amazing experience.
So what All right, let's start with how you started running. Okay, you've been running back your whole life, correct? Were you somebody who was playing on defense and a coach said you should start running it? How did you start carrying a rock in your career?
I first off was playing receiver. That's when I first started playing football. I was playing receiver. Mm-hmm. And then one of my best friends, and literally he came to the game late. So it was like, who's going to be running back today? You know, he's coming late. So ultimately it was like, Jonah, just play running back. So I'm at running back with number 81 on, and pretty much from there it took off. You know, I just started being a running back from there on out.
And then 58 touchdowns in your high school career in Stockton, California, correct?
Right?
Okay.
Something like that. Okay. I don't remember correctly.
No, I got it right. Unless Wikipedia or Google's wrong, and they're usually quite accurate. And then you wound up at Arizona, right? That's where you wanted to go? Wound up eventually at the University of Washington as well. So who do you model yourself after?
I feel like a great comparison for me is like Josh Jacobs. You know, he has great feet. His short area quickness is really good. In between the tackles, you know, he's a physical runner. He finishes, you know, every run that he has. You know, he's great in pass pro, has soft hands, natural pass catcher. So I just pretty much model my game after him. You know, seeing him come from Alabama and then ultimately do what he do at the Raiders and stuff is something that I really enjoy watching.
And who was your guy growing up then?
I was more like so when I was growing up, I used to watch a lot of LaDainian Tomlinson and like Marshawn Lynch. So those were my two guys, you know, growing up. You know, you can't go wrong with beast mode. And then obviously what LaDainian Tomlinson done was dominant.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about throwing your weight around, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, that's the guy, right? That's the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
So what does a team get with Jonah Coleman? What do you say when somebody's like, who are you? And what are you going to bring to a team? What's your answer?
Ultimately, you're going to get a guy that's, you know, either better to coach or fit right in with their building. And I'm a big culture guy, and I'm big on, you know, how things go on in the locker room, because ultimately that's what it comes down to when you're trying to win the Super Bowl, the guys in the locker room. So ultimately get a guy that ultimately betters that culture, or, you know, that's adding value to something that's already good. And then I'm a football player. You know, I wouldn't be in a situation if I, you know, didn't play football good. So I feel like just the kind of person I am is ultimately be an upside, you know, being a great teammate and doing what I can to ultimately help the team, you know, go to a Super Bowl and win it. That's the ultimate goal.
What do you think, Jonah Coleman, when you hear draft analysts or, you know, hosts who talk to the draft analysts say that the running back class in this year's draft isn't very deep, that you need to get those two kids from Notre Dame and that's about it. After that, good luck finding yourself a top-notch running back in the draft. What do you say when you hear that, Jonah?
At the end of the day, I have consistently dominated college football at my position for 4 years. If you really look back at the stats, I've consistently been a consistent runner. I mean, I don't really pay attention to what anybody that's not playing football has to say. At the end of the day, I know what I bring to the table, and I know what I do. And like I said, I'll be that hidden guy in the draft that somebody gets whenever they get them, and ultimately going to be one of those guys that show up on Sundays that's dominant. So I don't really try to pay too much attention to the media. I let them talk and, you know, let them do what they do. I didn't get to have a combine. So, I mean, I kind of fell out of the talk and the conversation because mm-hmm. I didn't do that. But at the end of the day, I play football. I got tape, and I'm not going to let me not running a 40 or me doing a vertical jump dictate how good I am at football. You know what I mean? I've been doing this for my whole life. Like I said, you know, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in if I didn't know how to play football, or, you know, if I wasn't a good player. So at the end of the day, I just let them talk and I do what I do.
So where are you going to be for the draft? What's your plan?
I'll be in San Diego with my family and friends.
All right. How many folks? What's the size of the affair and the event?
Well, probably like 40 max. I mean, I got 10 siblings already, so, you know, that's already 10 people right there. And then I have 15 nieces, so wow. You add that together, that's already 25. Wow. And then I got 6 nephews, so where you at? You have 30 already, 30-something. Okay. And then just a couple, you know, close friends, like guys that I grew up with, and then, you know, some guys that I met along the process that are really good friends to me, and then my manager, and then, you know, pretty close people, not trying to have it too big or to anything, just want to enjoy my time for the sure. work that I put
man,
with
that's,
my family.
That's almost a roster full of for an you could field your own NFL roster. So where are you in the 10 siblings? In the middle, younger, older? Where are you?
I'm right in the middle. I'm the only kid that my parents have together, so the rest of my other siblings are like half siblings, but if you like look at the numbers, I land right in the middle.
Okay. So there you go. So you're a leader in your own family. You're also trying to, you know, blaze your own trail. And I just wanted to meet you since I'm hearing, you know, that you are somebody that's that should be further up more radar screens. And I appreciate you taking the time here. I send my best of luck to you, and I look forward to calling your name on draft night and getting you back on the show.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me on here. I'm excited to be on it. Thank you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and just let them keep sleeping. At the end of the day, they still got to put on a helmet and shoulder pads and play football. So that's what I do.
You got it. Jonah, best of luck. We'll chat soon.
Nice. Good luck, thank my man. Brother.
Thanks, Jonah thank Coleman. You. There that's he goes. Awesome. There he goes.
Sold.
You know, I mean, honestly, how many fifth, sixth, seventh round drafted running backs? Not saying that's what he's going to be. But when you think of under the radar screen, you think of a third day maybe person.
Sure.
How many, I mean,
Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round,
right? Kyle Manungai.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like keep on
all over the draft.
Keep looking.
Yep.
And they've been crucial. Now, usually they're from Rutgers, but you know, end of the day though, you got yourself a kid who's like, look at me. Don't think, don't look anywhere else. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a phone call here. Jeffrey in San Francisco here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeffrey?
Rich Eisen.
What's up, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey.
What's up, buddy? I don't know your last name, otherwise Richard. I'd call it your full. Yes, Jeffrey. What's up?
Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir. You're on the air, sir. What's going on?
Don't curse.
All right. We want to put him back on hold then.
Jeffrey,
hey, Rich.
Yeah, you there? Hello? Jeffrey. There he goes. Jeffrey. Put him back on hold. Carl in Antioch, Illinois wants to talk Carl. With one of us in particular.
Hey there, Pilsen. Can you hear me, Rich Eisen?
We can, Carl. What's up, bud?
Rich?
Uh-oh. Are we, is this situation working?
Ooh.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not me, it's you. It's on your end.
Can you hear me, Carl?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
I can. What's up?
Carl.
Hey, what's going on? I got some, I wanted to talk, I wanted to talk to everyone, but I guess primarily it seems like TJ's the wrestling expert in the room, and I had some WrestleMania talk, and I was hoping, Rich, can you do me a favor, please?
Okay.
I'd appreciate it. I went to Second City just like Odenkirk. I wonder when he comes on if you could tell him that Carl said hi.
Carl said hi. Okay. That might not be what I lead with. That's okay.
Carl and Antioch.
Okay.
No. Well, anyways, yeah. But I'm a Second City actor too, so he's been a big inspiration.
Awesome,
and
cool.
So I'm, and if he's interested, you know, sure. He's interested in investing in my television show, we can get into that later. But I wanted to talk about the WrestleMania real quick. So is TJ there?
Yeah.
Carl, what up?
Oh, what's up, man? All right, so I wanted to go buy some. I have a couple little predictions, things. I wanted your opinion, your 2 cents, if you would.
Okay, let's note these.
So, first off, with the Bayley match, I'm thinking that there's a chance that Bayley gets fed up with losing, goes full psycho on Lyra, and turns on her and starts beating her up, and she starts turning heel.
Okay.
As far as the, first of all, I think Orton wins. I think the Usos are going to try to help Roman, but they're going to fail miserably and end up hurting him, and I think they're going to cost him the match, and that's going to lean to turn into like an inner family feud over the next few months over like, is it your fault, my fault, who's the boss, I'm the leader, okay. I got the all that stuff. I think Brock has to win because you can't have the rookie beating Brock first match. And I think that sets up like maybe a best of five series over the rest of the year. But you have to have Obelus so they have something to cheer for him to get revenge. So I think Brock's going to win somewhat of a relatively short match.
My goodness,
and what do you think about my underdog pick of the weekend? Is Bianca and her husband making a surprise entrance and starting a feud with all the other couples like Punk and AJ and Becky and Seth. And there's like a little feud between all the married couples. And Bianca makes a surprise appearance with Montez.
All right, Carl. So just to knock this out real quick, Bailey, I doubt she'll turn on Lyra because Becky did the same thing to Lyra last year. So I don't see them doing that again. So I don't agree with that. Randy probably will win. Yes. The Usos turning on Roman could happen. That's an interesting point you made. Oba has to go over Brock, in my opinion. He's the next best. Brock was the next big thing. Oba's now the big thing. Oba's got to beat Brock. And who was the other one you said? And Bianca and Montez, that would be cool to have some couples.
That's a cool thing.
You know, maybe get some mixed match challenges in down the road. That would be cool. But I think Oba has to go over.
Yeah, the same way Bayley and EO came and made a surprise at the end like a couple years ago. Or that was SummerSlam, I think, in Tennessee. They made that surprise appearance. But
well, Carl,
I love it. And I know that my picks might be a little crazy, but there's nothing more crazy than Bob Odenkirk slamming me through a table while I close my eyes and I think about my dear friend Andy.
Carl Antioch, Illinois, everybody. That was
boy, Carl.
All right, Carl.
From beginning, we're a wrestling show now, Rich.
I know.
Contest.
Yeah.
What?
Trying to see if I got an answer.
Oh, shade sent that.
Oh, here we go. I have the answer.
How does he just have?
Yes, I have the answer. If you want to know,
brothers. I would. I mean, sure.
Would you like to know? I mean, you're the only one who's co-hosting it.
Yeah, that's true.
You should want to know when you're working.
Yeah.
WrestleMania preview special featuring No Contest Wrestling. That's the name of it.
That is.
Oh, that's fun.
I named it myself.
No Contest.
2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on ESPN2. So we're competing.
Okay. Oh,
tomorrow
again.
Oh, all right. It's okay. It's fine.
We have to crush you, TV.
It will re-air at 4 Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on ESPN News, and again at 9 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN News.
Ooh, 2 re-airs. Nice.
So 3 airings.
Love it.
1 live, 2 re-airs.
And it'll be on the ESPN
app. Would you like to know who the guests are?
I know that already.
You do know that.
I do know that.
So why won't...
Can we talk about it?
Well, I was waiting for a time when it was proper. Now it seems proper.
Yeah. Among the guests
will be...
Nia Jax.
Lash Legend, the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. R-Truth, which is my name. I don't know if you know I'm coming. I'm R-Truth.
You are R-Truth. That's true.
That's amazing.
What's so funny?
Nothing.
I am the truth.
I'm not laughing.
I speak truth. I am the truth. Damian Priest?
Yes.
And Joe Fortenbaugh?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have 2 sets of tag team champions, and we'll be interviewing them. Oh, and
you've got a top 10, it looks like.
I've got, well, I'm not, to kind of differentiate it, it's not going to be a traditional top 10. It's just going to be a list, but I'm not necessarily ranking the list. It's going to be TJ's quintessential guide to WrestleMania to help people who maybe have never watched WrestleMania before to get into it. And then to, you know, just remind the fans of some of the great moments.
So, okay.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Can I give an opinion?
Please do.
Because, you know, I'll always try to give you my 2 cents.
I sit under your tree.
I would rank them. I'd order it.
Well, I said that, but...
Rather than just, like, the loud version of my thoughts.
Well, the producers, I brought up both ways, and they were like, they like not putting them in order to kind of separate it.
Interesting. Separate it from what?
To make it not like an ESPN countdown.
Oh, okay.
You just made the list!
Who knows? By tomorrow, they might be ranked. I don't know.
You fly and be free. Do you? You know what I mean? I'm going to take my hands off the steering wheel. I'm such a control freak.
Yeah, Rich, you're not involved. You're not involved.
I'm not involved.
You're not involved.
Yeah, but I'd love your input, of course.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what everyone... It's everything you'll need to prepare you for WrestleMania 42 live from Las Vegas! !
Yeah.
No, it's what came on my email.
Should be 2 exclamation points.
I've gotten the answer for you.
Utah.
2 p.m. Eastern.
2 p.m.?
I said 2 p.m.
p.m.
On ESPN 2. And then 2 hours later.
Later.
A re-air on ESPN News. And then at 9 Eastern, another ESPN.
2 b-airs.
I said 2 p.m. O'Shea and TJ.
This is amazing. I got
it. Is great.
It's kind of, it's just.
And I just love that at least it got you to tighten up your beard, which is great.
My beard is always tight.
Chris Webber is next.
C-Web
is next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your phone calls as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Or you got phone calls galore. Phone lines are lit. Everybody wants to talk wrestling with you. I'm serious.
It's Mania, baby.
I mean, like, it is Mania season.
I know.
You know, tis the season.
I wonder, C-Web wrestling guy? Are you a wrestling guy, Chris Webber, at all?
I am, but I'm like more old school. I love Rhodes, though. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I love him because of him and his father. But I'm like, you know, Macho Man, Elizabeth.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Chris Webber, yeah.
There was a guy who was at the draft in Cleveland years ago.
Yeah, dressed up like
him and talking like him to the point where we thought he was still alive and it really was him on the stage.
That guy goes to every Browns game.
Yeah. Oh, is that
he's,
right?
He's a fixture. A
Macho Man cosplay.
Yeah. Good to see you, Chris Webber. How you doing?
Oh, C-Web, yeah.
Doing great, man. Oh, yeah. No, I can't do it. Greg, it was good to see you on a Sports Center the other night. I forgot what it was, the Masters, yeah.
Thanks, man. Like, it was a blast from the past, you know, getting to be able to go back there and kind of close a door, open a new one. And it was great. Thank you for saying that. And I also saw Grant Hill as your guest on the Chris Webber Show, which you launched just this month. And you've got that exchange with your brother giving him back the jersey, right? That Grant gave him years ago. Can you tell that story for those who might not have seen this? It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, thank you. On this show, I try to have conversations with people that not only I've known or the public knows, but that there's a lot of backstory. And so I've known Grant forever, and we talk about me going to Duke or him recruiting me and other things. But yeah, so after they beat, I believe it was UNLV, it was my freshman year when they actually beat us. At that time, the MVP of both teams were awarded MVP. So we're standing on the court, you know, I'm down or whatever. And the jersey, when they beat, I believe, UNLV, the game before the championship game, he gave my brother the full entire uniform. And it's something that my aunt has had in her basement, is something that I've probably had in my house the last 20 years, you know, as I just started going through some of this stuff for the show. And My brother David said he wanted to give it back. I wanted to get it appraised, but he wanted to give it back. So it was a heartwarming story. My brother Dave was a hooper. His number's retired, or he's in the Hall of Fame at Central Michigan University. He was a great hooper. And we just talk about stories of acts of kindness. And he did that to Dave at 12 years old. And it really inspired Dave to, you know, to become the great player that he was.
Grant didn't want it back. He didn't want to take it. Right?
Grant's a good guy, man. He's a great guy. Again, we've known his family. We also talk about me getting in trouble at his house and his mom getting on me, and then me going home and my mom getting on me. But, you know, he's like family to Dave. And so it was very hard for Dave to, you know, for Grant to accept it. And even to this day, he keeps texting me, do you guys, you know, you sure you want it? But, you know, that's Dave's decision. Again, I would have got it appraised, or at least just given him those tight ass shorts and kept you know, everything else.
Grant, like, sits there like presidential. You know what I mean? Like, he's got this air about him. Might come from his stock, obviously. You know, his dad had that. His folks had that sort of airs about him. Themselves, he just sat there like the president, and you're offering him his seal back. It really was something. It was a great.
Well, yeah, I think hopefully it transferred as emotional as it was for Grant at the same time. But yeah, when you talk about Grant, one of the things he talks about is leadership that he loves, and kind of the three areas he went into in retirement. And so to me, you know, he's as presidential as he acts, and he's as silly as you don't see him on the side, you know, but he's a great example. And I hope his story of just the act of kindness. So many players have done that to me. And I think sometimes people think it's just stories when I was saying Isaiah Thomas said something to me or this or that. And when you see an A-cuff and how a player spoke to him, it's the same thing. It's those act of kind. I mean, you do it all the time, I'm sure. It's, you know, people coming from a journalism school or a podcaster or something like that saying, hey, I remember this moment. And, you know, and you give them one small word of advice, you know, you don't know how far that goes. And so on my show, I really try to talk about, you know, celebrating accomplishments, diving into kind of the obstacles, but, you know, really talking about the journey. And so for, you know, me, it's just a jersey. It's my friend Grant. But, you know, David, you know, a sports therapist now that advises everyone from kids in trauma to different teams and their players, you know, really understands how we're all affected, whether it's by negative words, whether it's by negative actions, or whether it's positive words and positive gestures. And you never know the impact of a small gesture, how far it can go in someone's life. And in this time, you know, with all this, everything that's going on, you know, I'd rather remind people about that from sport than something else. I could be cool in a lot of different ways and do what everybody wants and, you know, and this and that. But right now, you know, Nelson Mandela has a wonderful quote about sports and how it speaks to the youth in a way that, you know, it's not possible, and how it adds hope where there's despair. And so I just, you know, want to remind people, small little gesture, small little joke can go a long way. You're not saving the world, but you never know what you're doing. You never know who you're inspiring.
Episode 1 of the Chris Webber Show can be gotten wherever you get your podcasts and also seen on YouTube, on their YouTube channel. Check that one out, the Chris Webber Show with Grant Hill as episode 1. Let's talk about the play-in tournament contests we've seen so far, Chris, starting with the first one. When you saw LaMelo Ball take out the leg of Bam Adebayo, you thought what, Chris?
Man, so, you know, Rich, I don't know if it's the era of not wanting to make a mistake and therefore skipping it and then being judged after not making a mistake. So being judged after not making a mistake may be less harsh than making a mistake being judged. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I feel. And why would I say that? It seemed that if the referee saw that play, you know, I can name another play where he traveled and took two, you know, after he gathered, took his one step, he lost the ball and took one more step. And I was looking at, you know, the thing that makes this game is the rules, you know. And so, yeah, I couldn't believe that play. I agree with, You know, I don't think it was on purpose or malicious. I think every player has done that after a foul, will grab a guy trying to hold his leg, you know. So I don't think it was anything malicious on Ball's part. But at the same time, you know, there's two teams, and I thought something, you know, a tech, you know, it was just, it was so obvious. And that's what I mean about maybe not wanting to take responsibility. Is what I should say instead of not making a mistake. I couldn't, you know, believe it. But after that, you know, seeing how Charlotte played and the big shots that they hit and, you know, just making it happen. And you're going to have those things in the game. So I feel that way. But so what? Now you got to win the game. And they went and won the game. And so I thought it was pretty impressive by a young, exciting team that I'm looking forward to watching grow.
No doubt. And the fact that he was in the game to make the game winner and Bam Adebayo was not. Listen, I thought it was reckless. And that is the word used by the NBA Executive Vice President James Jones, called it unnecessary and reckless, created significant injury risk. And I don't know if this is fair or not, but I'll say it anyway. That's something that could be described to his driving as well around town. And I sit here and I marvel at his talent. I marvel at how he can play. And I'm sitting here wondering if he should be playing. And I know that might be pretty harsh, but it's the truth. And I think so.
No, I feel you. And I addressed it more from a point of should he have been kicked out the game, yes, or other things. But when we're talking about the injury or how that even affected to the game, you know what I mean? And so I definitely, you know, could definitely see your word reckless. If I am any other team except this, I'm fighting saying if this were us, this would happen. Mm-hmm. So as a league, too, you don't want to seem like you have an agenda, which is a young, exciting team going forward. So I definitely see how, you know, you can see that play. And if I'm Miami, and I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the classiest coaches in the game, but he didn't pour the fire that maybe should have, or the gasoline on the fire that maybe should have been poured, because he was so classy. And I think that's kind of set the tone of expectation for everyone. But when you look at his injury and the fact that their best player was out, yeah, you know, I think reckless is a good way to put it in the game. But also, I think the it's on the refs. You know what I mean? Like he could be the one to foul 50 people. If no one calls it, you know, then what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe just because I'm a football guy, the visual evidence is there. It shouldn't matter if it was a play or two later. The minute you see it, you got to stop it. And you got to at least give a flagrant. You got to at least give a flagrant in the
Rich,
game.
I'm with you, but since you did that, I got two examples.
Please.
That was a catch by Megatron. That was clear. We saw that. Okay.
That's and a 10-year-old gripe, then, man.
Speak on it, C-Web.
That's a 10-year-old gripe.
Speak on it.
I mean, I'm just saying. And then didn't something happen with New Orleans like 4 years ago?
Sure.
With the DB on the play? Or
In the NFC title game, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I love football, so I'm just saying, you know, it's across, like, you know.
I like it. You want to bring up the Millen Man March too, Chris? I mean, my gosh.
I was part of that.
I know you were. I know you were. In Detroit back in the day. Oh, that's so funny.
I was in Oklahoma State, and you know I had to go by Billy Sims ribs too. So,
I'm sure, of course, Billy Sims. I love it. I love it.
Gary Danielson. I think he was on ESPN for a while.
Well, I know for sure. Seeing the Warriors kind of turn back the clock last night was fun, you know, and I just don't know. And obviously we know Charlotte's pretty damn good too. And we'll see who emerges between, you know, Charlotte and the Magic here. But the eight seeds are just going to have a really difficult time. You could say the same thing about, again, I know the Blazers with Avdija coming up with 41, and they've got to be feeling good about themselves, and the Sixers taking on the Celtics. I'm looking hard to see where we could see any first round upsets here, C-Web, you know?
Yeah, you know, so if I'm the Knicks, I'm not taking the Hawks lightly. They're playing with house money, man. And the energy behind a new team, you know, when you hit a different stride whether it's because of turmoil and you've gotten through it, or whether it's because new players come at the second half of the year, that is an energy that really can't be measured. You don't know how that's going to go toward the games. And so I think their coach is, you know, one of the most underrated coaches in the game when you talk about strategy and thought process. And I think the energy and excitement and maybe the pressure. Now, of course, you know, these guys in New York, they're used to pressure. I'm not saying that.
Sure.
But if they win, you know, lose the first game and are going to sweep the rest, between that first and second game, it's going to be, you know, doomsday. So, you know, they don't have kind of the luxury of recuperating as far as mentally as some other teams, like a team in Sacramento when I was there, when we all believed, or a team in Oklahoma State when, you know, they have to have full context of thought because they're not used to having that expectation. Well, the wick on the candle is really short there in New York, and you start hearing, you know, whispers and comments early. And so that's a little bit of a different pressure playing there. And so if I'm a team like the Hawks, I'm definitely trying to get, you know, take advantage of it because there's no pressure on the Hawks. And sometimes that's the worst team you want to play if there's no pressure and they're motivated to get their best.
Is there one in the West maybe? Isn't it wild that the Lakers, despite having a better regular season record, having home court advantage, that the injuries, I imagine, would make them the underdog in that series, right? That got the Timberwolves taking on the Nuggets. Where do you see a surprise in the West potentially, if any?
So, first of all, I think that Jokic is the best player in the NBA. I'm not saying that he's the MVP, but I think arguably he's been the best player. And I think their team is great. I think they have a wonderful coach in Adelman. But I think that Minnesota is a bad matchup for them. I just think that that is something where that could be upset alert.
Why is that? What's the bad about the matchup for you?
Well, when you look at Ant-Man, what he does in the game, when you look at the fact during the playoffs, each play condenses, you don't get as many fast breaks. The number of plays condenses, you don't get as many fast breaks. So therefore, Jokic is going to be himself and wonderful. However, if you can get out with your athleticism, if you are Minnesota, if the big fella who you really don't need to score as much, the Stifle Tower, you don't really need him. Now is when he makes his value in a playoff game where he gets one important block. And so I just, you know, I like their pace. I like their attitude and their will. And those are kind of the teams with great home court support as well in Minnesota. You just, you know, they always say it doesn't start until someone loses at home. Mm-hmm. Well, in this one, you know, it could very, you know, easily happen early. And so I just think their wings, the way they play and potentially how high Ant-Man can get is really going to be a problem.
I got to be honest with you. I've never heard Rudy Gobert referred to as the Stifle Tower before. That is awesome.
I thought that was his nickname.
That's amazing.
Pretty good.
That is great, though.
That is awesome.
I thought that was
I've never heard that before. So maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm stealing that from EJ. Maybe I'm stealing that from Ernie Johnson. I heard someone say it a million times.
Stifle Tower is outstanding.
It makes sense. Yeah.
All right, C-Web. It's great to see you. It's also awesome to see you. Do you have anybody you want the Lions to take next week? Is there something you...
You know what? No, I trust our office, okay. You know. I trust our coach. We're biting kneecaps, you know.
I like it.
You know what I mean? So, no, I'm ready, baby.
Okay, I love that.
I'm ready for football season. Let's go.
You're referring to Megatron. Basically, I think he caught it against the Bears, right?
Yep.
And then he's going down to the ground after everything's over, but it still was in the era of Dez Bryant and they hadn't made the rule changes yet. That was a catch. But based on the silly, stupid ass rules the NFL was employing at the time, I understand what happened, Chris. But I love you still stuck on it.
Oh yeah, I'm mad at my friends that are DBs because I always think I'm a wide receiver or a tight end, so I talk junk to these guys all the time. All they keep bringing up is New Orleans, so you know I think we have to go that way too. But
I love it.
Shout out to Shout out to Wayne Fonts and all he's done.
Wayne Fonts.
All he's done for our organization.
Oh, my God. Eric Hippel mentions are right around the corner.
Scott Mitchell.
That's good. Herman Moore. Ball. Let's go. Herman Moore. Baby.
Good to chat with you, Chris. We'll see you soon again.
See you soon. That's Rodney Pete draft pick. Right? Keep going. Let's go, baby.
Here he goes. Chris Weber, everybody.
Get ready for draft week.
Be good, man. Check out the Chris Weber show, everybody, where you get your shows and podcasts, as well as the YouTube channel for all that. That's Stifle Tower. What do you think? So he named the 2-6 seeds. The 2-6 seeds.
Yeah.
Have you done the
I did.
The Cooper bracket?
I did do the Cooper bracket.
Have you done... done any non-chalky maneuvers?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me tell you what
I consider the Rockets beating the Lakers as chalk, by the way.
You do?
Yeah. You don't? Right now?
Well, they're the five seed.
I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Thunder, Rockets, Nuggets, Spurs. I have Nuggets over Thunder. Is that an upset to everyone?
I think it would be, sir.
And then I have Hawks over Knicks and Celtics over Nuggets in the finals.
Is that because I put the Knicks over the Celtics in my
power rankings? Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know what's more offensive.
Having the Nats out of the Celtics.
Or the password for the fantasy league as created by my son is Rich is Bald.
It's not even Dad is Bald. Like,
yeah, he's
straight up calling you Rich. Bro.
Rich. Does he call you Rich around the crib?
He has gotten, he's now 15, mm-hmm. Sweetheart of a boy. But he has begun to have the temerity to call me Rich, or even worse.
Richard?
No.
Dickie?
No.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
His mom, Susie.
Oh, no.
You better put that boy in his place.
No.
I don't care how big Coop. He is.
He is, on occasion,
Coop, listen,
referred to his mother by her first name.
You're never too big for the belt, TJ. You know
Cooper,
what I mean?
look at me, dog. You know you're my man. I know you're getting big. That's why you think you could test your pops a little because you're like 6'3".
Don't
and
do it.
It's done.
Mom?
It's done tongue-in-cheek.
No.
It's done tongue-in-cheek, but he has chosen, on occasion, the wrong time.
Yeah, no, Coop.
Do it.
Coop, no.
You know, I wonder if that's a middle child thing, because my brother does the same thing to our mom.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Could be.
Like, I call my mom her first name, but only on the telephone.
No, I would not never call my mom her first name, ever.
Well, he's done that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he does that
to me. But, you know, look at you, Rich. You're a big, passionate Laker fan. Like, that's the way it would do it
Well,
for
that's
me.
Pretty funny, actually.
You let him hang out with Brockman too much. That's the problem.
That's pretty funny. But come on.
Dropping an okay Susie on his mom.
That's playing with death, Cooper.
It is.
You're going to get five across the face.
on behalf of Cooper, we're rolling our break.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
For small businesses, every hire counts, and so does your time. Hiring can quickly become overwhelming, from sorting applications to figuring out who's truly qualified. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro can help you. It streamlines the process so you can focus on connecting with the right candidates, not managing the noise. Hire right the first time. Post your first job and get $100 off towards your job post at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. 844-204-RICH. Let's try Jeffrey in San Francisco again. I think it was on our end that was an issue. What's up, Jeffrey?
I apologize.
Hey, Rich Eisen. How you doing, dude?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, real quick, I just need four quick opinions from RES Consulting, dude.
Okay.
All righty?
Yeah.
The first one, I need you to work with TJ, because my question is, as a beloved longtime Ravens fan, is my football team in the midst of a heel turn? Because it feels like a heel turn to me.
No, it's not a heel turn. It's not a heel turn.
I agree.
It's not a heel turn. Yeah. You're going to love your new coach. You're going to love your new coach. The defense is going to be absolutely better.
And I'm nervous.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a hill.
You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be.
All right, that was slippery with Crosby.
What else you need? I hear you. I don't condone it, but the new coach is 100% going to get the defense better. He's done that everywhere he's been. What else?
All right, quick draft. Are you familiar with a player named Jamie Ding?
Okay.
Ding? D-I-N-G?
Yeah.
Okay.
D-I-N-G.
Okay.
No.
Did that dude grow up in witness protection?
Okay. I don't know.
Jamie Ding?
The only guy I see here is a Jeopardy champion.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, hit the hey, drop.
Rich, what else you want to know?
What else you want to know?
DTF St. Louis?
I have indeed. I just finished.
No spoilers. I have two left.
Yeah, okay.
Powerhouse.
All right.
Can you rank the performances Bateman, Harbor, Capellini?
I won't rank them, but I think David Harbor in that show is stupendous.
Yeah.
Agree to agree. He was the best.
I felt really bad for him. What's the last
thing?
What else do you want to know?
What was the last thing? Golf fight, Rich. Golf fight. We got Jeff from NBC golf fighting with some dude named Jim from CBS golf.
I don't know. All right, Jeffrey in San Francisco. I don't know. I was getting a little concerned about the Jamie Ding thing.
Well, no, he's a Jeopardy champion. I'm sure
he's on a historic winning streak, apparently.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
All right. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he's legit.
He's won 11 in a row.
He's so good, he wouldn't refer to me as a what, right? He would refer to me as who. That's how good he is at the game.
Seems like.
Yeah. And by my full name, not what is Eisen. Yeah, what is Eisen? Is just,
what's Eisen?
Yeah, what's Eisen?
Rich Eisen is right.
Thank you.
Ooh.
One of my favorite drops. All right, Bob Odenkirk's in our green room. That will end very shortly. I'm so excited to talk about his new film, Normal, and then everything else that he's done. We're excited to have him here in studio in hour number three. We're back on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80 in just a moment. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Thanks for listening to The Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.